So continuing chapter 18, which was for the MOSFETs. So MOSFET construction was discussed last time. So we have two types of MOSFETs, N-type and P-type, depending on how the doping has been performed. So as MOSFET is primarily related to the transport of majority carriers. So in N-type MOSFET, the majority carrier is electrons, and in P-type, the majority carriers are holes. And the charge transport of these charge carriers is controlled by voltage. So that is where the field effect name comes from. So with electric field, we control the conductivity of this the channel in this. This device. So here's the kind of a cross-sectional overview of NMOS and PMOS. We call this type of thing that if you have on the same chip, on the same substrate, if you have both PMOS and NMOS types of devices, we call this CMOS. So complementary metal oxide semiconductor technology. So that is the most common way of doing digital electronics and also analog or mixed signal electronics using CMOS technology. So here's a kind of a 3D picture that kind of shows a little bit more how a normal or regular MOSFET is constructed. So in this case, we have NMOS. So for the discussions, we concentrate on NMOS devices. So PMOS is basically, from the operational point of view, it's pretty similar. Only thing different is basically it's just that we kind of the polarity of the voltages and the direction of currents is changed. But otherwise, it's kind of the basic principle is pretty much the same. Okay, so here is illustrated the structure of a normal lateral NMOS. So we have these source and drain regions, highly doped N regions on a lightly doped P substrate. Then what we have, there is a certain distance between source and drain. We call it as a length, as L. So that is the length of the channel. And then the other geometry or kind of a governing factor is the width of that channel. So how wide is that channel? So how long distance the charge carriers need to travel from source to drain or drain to source, and then how wide it can be. So both of these, the W and L, they determine the amount of current and the kind of the level of current flowing through this transistor. And here's the cross-sectional image again, and I want to emphasize here that the structure is that we have a metal, which is typically, well, sometimes it's aluminum, and there is also from the manufacturing point of view, there is a material called polysilicon, which is just a very highly doped and amorphous silicon, which is planted on top of this oxide, which is an insulator. So this polysilicon is a conducting material. So it's not like very, very good conductor like aluminum or copper or anything like that, but it still gives it's good enough conductor that it can be used as an electrode on top of here, so we can bring the potential on this side of the oxide. And then this oxide here, it insulates that this gate, the potential of the gate from the rest of the device. So only the electric field that is kind of generated by that potential here is affecting the charge carriers, but there's no current flowing from the gate to the substrate or the source or the drain in a normal case. Of course, there is always, the oxide is not perfect insulator, so there's always some leakage current, but from the operational point of view, we can kind of forget that. So the main current flow is from drain to source for an N-type device. And as you can see from here that we have this N and then we have a P region and again N. So we have basically, we have two PN junctions. So basically two diodes which are connected in the opposite direction. So in the first place, we could think of that if we bias a drain in a certain way or source in a certain way, we have we can have a forward biased PN junction, but then the other PN junction is reverse biased. So we don't have kind of connection between drain and source to start with. But then we can get that connection by controlling the gate and building a channel here. So this is a so-called enhancement mode MOSFET where we don't have, where we have zero bias, we don't have any channel. But then we have, we will go in a few slides, we will have a few different types of MOSFET. So as said, the gate voltage controls the thickness of a channel. So it controls the thickness of the kind of the layer of charge carriers underneath the oxide. So there is an interface of the silicon dioxide and silicon. And then when we apply electric field, so in this case, for NMOS, how we do it is that we apply positive voltage on the gate. We attract electrons, which are minority carriers on the P substrate. So we have more holes here than electrons, but we have still electrons there. So the holes are repelled. So they don't want to go toward the positive bias or positive potential. So they go away from it and electrons come to this interface. And if you have enough potential here, there's so-called inversion layer forming in the interface. And then we have a connection of electrons all the way from source to drain. And then we have conduction between source and drain. So that is the kind of the basic idea. And then what we call, we say that we enhanced this. So we formed the channel, we enhanced the channel by that way. Then we have also, in some cases, we have doped the channel region so that there is already at zero bias, there is some electrons. So it's slightly N-type region. So we already have at zero gate bias, we have a certain gate or drain to source connection. So there is already current flowing, but we can deplete it by putting a negative bias on it. So we repel the electrons away and pull the holes close to that interface. And then we shut the connection. So we close the connection and then we have kind of, it can be also that way. So there's a rather good video that I found. I linked it here. If you want to watch, where there's good animations. I didn't want to start making them myself because there's plenty of those things in YouTube and online in general. So short few minute video can be found in this link. So you can check that out and it explains the whole thing that I will explain right now. So another type of view of how to explain things. So it might kind of reveal something that I might miss or I might explain differently. So here's in kind of a cartoon to illustrate how this depletion enhancement mode MOSFET works. This depletion enhancement mode MOSFET or DE MOSFET means that at zero bias, we have a certain channel already there, and there can be current. We can deplete it, so we will put negative bias to the gate, and we decrease the current as shown in this ammeter here, and we can even shut it down totally, so there's practically no current flowing. Or we can enhance, so we put positive gate voltage, and there is more current there through the channel than at zero bias. So we can kind of make the current larger or shut it down. But at zero, it's a kind of a valve that is normally open, but we can close it, or we can make the channel or the valve even conduct better. So that is one type of MOSFET. And as said, we can have MOSFETs that are normally closed, so there's at zero bias no current, but then we can open the valve or the channel. So, and both these MOSFETs are available in N-channel or P-channel types. The circuit symbols are here are just one type. So this is something that the textbook uses. So we have this circle around the device, which is not always the case. So DMOSFET N-channel is shown here, which means that we have this basically the difference between depletion enhancement MOSFET and enhancement MOSFET is that this line here is solid for DMOSFET, and it's dashed line in enhancement mode, meaning that this just illustrates that in enhancement mode, if you have zero bias from gate to source, there's no channel and there's no current flowing through. But here we already have at zero bias, we have some channel, and then we can either close it or make it even bigger or better conducting. And as you know, note here, so, and well, here's N-channel on top and P-channel on the bottom. And as you know, note here, we have this substrate or the bulk connection visible here. So even though the MOSFET is from the basic principles, it's a three-terminal device. But here we have four terminals, so there's also the substrate given. And as I mentioned earlier, that this is kind of the general case when we can control also the substrate potential if it's given like this. However, most of the discrete parts, so if you have an individual transistor device in our hands, it's a three-terminal device, so we don't have access to the substrate, and it's typically the substrate is connected to the source for N devices and to the drain for the P channel devices. And the direction of the arrow is basically the direction of the PN junction. So it's kind of a diode, even though it looks like an arrow, but it's kind of illustrates the diode inside. So we have this NPN regions inside the MOSFET. So in N channel device, the bulk is P. So we have the anode is in the substrate, and the cathode is in the drain and source. So we have this the diode is this way, kind of pointing inwards to the channel for N channel device, and for P type device, it's the opposite because we have P regions for drain and source, and N region or the bulk or the substrate of P channel device is N type. So the cathode is in the substrate, and the anodes are on the drain and source. So that's why the arrow is different way. So it just illustrates so you can see from the symbol which type of device we have. But that said, we usually what we have, I think, well, it's not given here, but as you will see in the simulation tools, if you go using LTSpice or others, you do you don't have the circle, and then typically this is kind of connected directly here, so you only have three terminals to use. Then another type of field effect transistor is a junction gate, or it can sometimes it's a chuck FET, or more commonly it's just a JFET. And whereas the gate was insulated in MOSFET with the dielectric, so the silicon dioxide, here we don't have an oxide or insulator, but we have a reverse biased PN junction in this. We still kind of apply an electric field that controls the charge transport, but it's not insulated like the same way. It's insulated by the depletion region of the PN junction. Because we have this PN junction, this JFET, we need to operate that in a reverse bias condition always for the gate. Because otherwise, if we put forward bias to the PN junction, we have then the gate is no longer insulated from the rest of the circuit. So there is more restrictions and limitations for this type of device. So here's illustration. Sorry about the small picture. I can maybe zoom it up a little. I think we will come up another picture. Same way we can, as in the previous, we can have N-channel or P-channel JFETs. So both types are available. So here's a kind of a simple, let's see if I can, I cannot zoom it for some reason. No, it works. No, it doesn't work. Strange. Okay. Anyhow, so here's a basic, let's see here's a better picture. Okay. The basic operation is, as said, is a reverse biased gate junction, where we have this depletion region forming because of the potential differences. And the gate voltage controls the thickness of the depletion region, and it controls the thickness of the channel. So for now, we consider an N-channel device. So we always need to have the gate at negative, at zero or negative. We cannot go to positive, because then we have the PN junction will be forward biased, and it just won't work. And it's basically this device is not kind of defined at those voltages. And what happens when we make the gate more negative, we increase the depletion region, and we reduce the width of the channel, which increases the resistance, and eventually if we increased it high enough, we close the channel totally. And here's the basic principle illustrated. So we have this PN junction from the gate. Usually it's even this way, that we have kind of both, the gate is connected on kind of two sides, so that we actually kind of symmetrically kind of narrow the end channel. So here we, in the kind of the starting point, when we have zero bias on the gate, we already have a channel here, which we just then, with negative gate bias, we just narrow and narrow, and eventually we'll cut the whole channel, and then there's no current flowing. There's always some current, but it's much smaller than what we have in these two cases. So then we'll start looking at the characteristics of a field effect transistor. So even though the basic operation kind of way is different for these two devices, MOSFET and JFET, the characteristics are pretty much similar. So as said, the input characteristics we have for when we are operating at the kind of the normal operation region for voltages for JFET and MOSFET, the gate is effectively insulated from the remaining of the device. But of course, for MOSFET, it's always insulated. Whereas for JFET, if we go to positive gate voltages in respect to the rest of the device, then we might run into a positive or forward bias PN junction, which of course makes some problems, which needs to be avoided. The output characteristics. So input characteristics are considered for the gate, and output characteristics is considered from the drain usually for N-channel. So that is kind of the output of the device, depending on how you have, where you are using, what kind of circuit you are using. But for the simplest case, that's the output. And the output is, you can consider it as a voltage, or moreover, we are controlling the input is the control input is voltage, and the kind of the output of this device in the most simplified case is current. So we are controlling with voltage, we are controlling the amount of current flowing through. Of course, we can then turn that current into voltage with resistors and so on. We will look into that in a minute. So kind of the basic idea is that we need to have, for N-channel device, the drain needs to be more positive than the source. So the current is flowing whenever that is kind of, when the control is set so that we have current flowing, then it will go from drain to source. So positive current is flowing from drain to source. That means that we have electrons flowing from the source to drain. Obviously, the drain voltage itself, it will affect to a certain degree the thickness of the channel. So there is potentials in gate, some potential in drain, and possibly some potential at source as well. So we have electric fields or potential differences between those three points. Hence, we have some electric fields inside the device, and those electric fields affect the thicknesses of the depletion region and the inversion layers and so on. So it affects. But for the time being, we will look into the effect of gate voltage. So here's an illustration how this thing works for both of these MOSFET and JFET. So for depletion enhancement mode MOSFET, on the left, we have here the gate, which is the darker gray, and then the insulator, which is the lighter gray area here. And then the light blue is N-type, and white area is P-type semiconductor. So here, how we have, so the N-type MOSFET is biased now, is that we put positive gate to the positive voltage to the gate. Then we have a certain gate to source voltage. So we have electric field high on the bottom part of this channel from this point of view. And the top part, it's a little bit more narrow because we have a positive drain voltage here. So we have some electric field, which is different. So it's somewhat lower between gate and drain than gate to source. Still, we have some channel that there is some conduction between, so it's not totally shut down. Same kind of thing applies for JFET, where we have now a negative gate bias, because now we are dealing with N-type JFET. So we have this PN junction, we reverse bias, we increase the depth of the depletion region, which means that we have wider depletion region on the drain side of this transistor than the source side. But you can see that we have this same kind of a wedge shape channel forming here. We have conduction, but we can then, applying more and more bias on the gate, we can eventually shut this down. here we could shut this down by lowering the gate voltage, so we can then it will eventually go. So if we go to negative, we can we pull this P type close to the interface here, and then the channel will close, and we don't have conduction. So here is the kind of the normal characteristic current voltage curve for different types of NMOS devices. So we have a DE MOSFET, which is the depletion enhancement mode, and then we have an enhancement mode MOSFET. They look pretty similar, as you can see. If you don't start looking at the numbers, they are pretty much the same. However, if you start looking at the gate to source voltages that give each curve. So each curve, now the x-axis for both of these graphs is the drain to source voltage, and the y-axis the drain current. So you can see here that if we bias the drain to source voltage to certain voltage, let's say 15 volt, then we control the drain current simply by this gate to source voltage, and we can go up. So basically where we start from is zero is here. So when we don't apply anything, so gate and source are at the same potential, we have certain current already flowing through the device at 15 volt. And if we change that current, the voltage or VDS voltage, the current is, it doesn't change too much. There is some small slope here, which is not shown because in the kind of the effect of the VDS voltage is not that high compared to the VGS voltage. So that's why it's from the first approximation, we can consider these as flat curves. So it remains constant whether we have 20 or 10 volts of voltage VDS at VGS zero. So for this example, we have slightly more than 5 milliamps of current flowing at there. And the different regions shown here, there's this dashed line, which is basically a parabola. Then connecting or how you say, dividing this characteristic curve to different regions. The flat curve part, we call it the saturation region. So it kind of the current is saturated. So we don't increase the current with VDS, increasing VDS. So the current remains rather constant. So it's kind of a saturated. Whereas the region before or below this point, where we always have to be, of course, conserving charge. So at zero voltage VDS, we have to have zero current flowing through that device. That's kind of given. So we cannot have some current flowing from drain to source if you don't have any bias or potential difference between drain to source. So that's kind of a normal physical limitation. So every curve starts at zero. If we have a certain VGS voltage, then when we start increasing the VDS, we first kind of start increasing the current rather linear. It's not linear, but it's for certain regions or the first part, it's rather linear. But then, of course, it starts to kind of turn and then saturates to certain level. So that's why, because we have this kind of a almost linear behavior, we call this region ohmic region. Because these lines, if we draw a line from zero to small VDS values, we can illustrate that behavior as ohmic behavior. So then the enhancement mode MOSFET, what is different from the depletion enhancement mode MOSFET is that if we have zero volt at the gate, we have zero current. So the channel is closed, but then we need to, in order to open it, we put more and more bias. So we attract the electrons underneath the channel or in the channel underneath the dielectric. And at some point, at a certain so-called threshold voltage, the channel opens, and then we have this behavior that increasing, going over and over the threshold, we increase the current the same way what we have here. So here we can, in the depletion enhancement mode MOSFET, we can close the channel by putting negative bias. So this is in case of N-type device. So at some point we reach the threshold voltage at negative and we close the channel. Here we have in the example with the threshold voltage for enhancement mode is 2 volts. So we have to be above 2 volts in order to have the channel open. So it's just a kind of a different way of but behavior is the same pretty much. It's just the offset of when the channel is open or closed. And for JFET, it's pretty much the same as for the DE MOSFET. However, the maximum VGS is 0 because we cannot go above 0 because otherwise we would be forward biasing the PN junction from the gate. So now we are operating always for JFET, we are operating for VGS, which are below 0. So this is N-type JFET. For P-type, it would be the opposite. We would have 0 and positive voltages, and then it would kind of, at some point, it would close the channel at certain positive voltages. So it would be just a mirror image of the current. And same way, we have the same regions. We have the saturation region and ohmic region. So these are the shape of the curve, or the set of curves is exactly the same for DE MOSFET and, well, basically all of the MOSFET, you can overlay them together. It's just that the equations are somewhat different, as we will see in a minute. So then we can think of the so-called transfer characteristics. So we put a certain voltage on the drain. So let's see, we could think of that we put, for example, 10 volts VDS. And for each of these devices. So we would choose this kind of a cross section of these curves. Here the same, and here the same. And then we would look the ID, so the drain current as a function of gate to source voltage. What comes out is this kind of curve. So now we are holding the VDS, so drain to source voltage constant, and changing VGS, and we get this curve for JFET. So at 0 volt we have so-called IDSS, so that is the saturated current for drain to source, and then pinch of voltage at some point at negative voltages when we cut off the channel. The same goes for DE MOSFET. We have at 0 volt, we have this IDSS, similarly as for JFET, but now we can operate also on positive side of VGS values. So we can make it enhanced, or we can make it depleted and cut the current conduction at some threshold voltage. And for enhancement mode, we have zero current at zero voltage because the channel is closed, but then we need to open and we enhance it. And we have this threshold voltage associated with this transistor. And there is, we can also define this kind of a VGS on and ID on at certain, so how much current flowing at a certain point. Or we can describe it as the threshold voltage. So depending, so this curve here is of course, that depends, as I mentioned earlier, that the shape of the curve, so how steep the curve is and so on, depends on the geometry and the doping levels and the size of the transistor channel. So the width and the length of the channel and it's the size, the thickness of the oxide layer, and so on, make this. But we will not go in too much into detail of those, but it's good to know that where that comes from. We just basically give those. So for D MOSFET and enhancement mode MOSFET, we have this kind of a MOSFET equation. So this is given for when we are on the saturation region. So we have this 10 volt, or depending, we can even have 5 volts or 20 volts, whatever the VGS or VDS, sorry. And then the current is determined by the VGS. There is a factor K, which is device dependent. And then we have the threshold voltage, which is also device dependent. And then the shape is actually parabola. So it's a factor, it's a VGS to the power of 2. And this determined when VGS is higher than VT. So when it's at VT or lower, then the current is zero. So it's kind of a piecewise determined function, if you will. So you need to type, so if you would take this function and you would just simply put from zero for enhancement mode, you MOSFET, you would put the values for VGS from 0 to 10 volt, and we have threshold voltage at 2 volts. Below 2 volts, it would start turning up, which is of course not true. So that needs to be taken into account when you, if you numerically define current values for MOSFETs. And for JFET, it looks a little bit different, but it's basically the shape is the same. So we have the parabola again. Now we have this IDSS at 0 volt. And then we have the pinch of volt. It's kind of, which basically is kind of the same as what the threshold voltage for the DE MOSFET is. So we could basically also, the DE MOSFET could be described with this equation as well. So it's they are kind of you can rearrange them and have IDSS determined also. So it depends on how you want to and how it's given from the data sheet. And but this is kind of the typical way of that when we are dealing MOSFET, we are using this equation. When we do dealing JFET, we use this kind of equation. And mostly this MOSFET equation is used in this we have some examples for this JFET as well, but mostly the MOSFET equation is more useful in general case when you look at the MOSFET textbooks and materials, you will find this equation more often. Then about the ohmic region, so how that works. So if you look at how it looks accurately, it's this kind of equation. So it's a little bit more ugly. There you have same kind of term that you saw in the saturation region equation. So we have VGS minus VT term here, but then you have dependence on the VDS as well. We and a second potential or polynomial for VDS. So this is the kind of the accurate model for the ohmic region. However, if you want to kind of just to get approximate, because clearly this is non-linear, because we have terms VDS and VDS to the power of 2, then what is the kind of the approximation? And we can, what we usually have in the data sheets for transistors are given this kind of RDS on, which means that if you put a gate to source voltage to a certain level and you have 0 volt at that point for VDS, and you start basically the gate to source voltage determines the channel conduction, so effectively the resistance of that channel. So So you can also think it as a voltage controlled resistor to certain degree. And if you think that, okay, the accurate model is this, how the current behaves as a function of VGS and VDS. If we take now the derivative of this thing, so ID, the partial derivative of ID versus in terms of VDS, which is basically then the reverse or inverse of RDS on by definition. So now we are missing some ingredients for some reason, which I don't understand, which is now, let's see. Why it's missing. Let's go here. I didn't notice that when I was scrolling through the slide. So there is some code is broken. It could be that this partial. Let's make this partial just a D. Is it so that there is some, sorry about this inconvenience, I didn't realize that there was these problems. So let's see how, okay, now it looks better. Maybe it was not the problem with the partial. No, the partial was okay. There was some copy paste issue. Issue that kind of makes this part for some reason look stupid. Okay, now it works. Let's go back here and refresh. Okay, now it looks better. So now we can see that the RDS on, or R on for short, is dependent on the threshold voltage, which is device dependent, and K, which is device dependent, and then the control voltage VGS, showing that it's inversely proportional to the VGS. So higher VGS, lower RDS on, which is obvious if you look at the characteristic curve again. So here we have different VGS values, so low VGS, high VGS. The red one is higher VGS than the purple one. And the curves, the slope of the curve is higher. So the resistance, effective resistance of that channel is lower when we have higher VGS, which obviously makes sense. And here you can see that what is the kind of the mismatch or the uncertainty or error using the approximate linear model and the accurate model. So the solid line is the accurate model and the dashed line is the estimated linear model for the RDS on. So you can see that it's basically valid only at small values of VDS. So I only at this region here somewhere that you can think of it as a voltage controlled resistor. But it's still useful. We can use it as such that with the 1 volt or half a volt of VDS, we have a control over the resistor. So it's a useful thing to have. So when you know the limitations, you can work around that, and it is used in many places. for tuning, for example, you might have an RF system where you have RC components where they are. The resistor is voltage controlled using this type, this technique, and then you have control over the time constant of the system with this. So that is one way of doing. So normal operating ranges for these three types of field effect transistors. So if we the JFET, as said, it's defined. The operation is well defined when we are below zero. We are dealing with N-type or N-channel devices, so we cannot go over. VGS cannot be above 0 volt, and then also it's not good to be close to the pinch off or the threshold voltage. So we should be somewhere in the middle of this curve or the part operating. So usually somewhere over here. For D MOSFET, because we are, it works both ways, both sides of the 0 volt, and again, we don't want to be close to the threshold voltage, and then on the other side, we don't want to go too high currents, because then, of course, the problem that we are facing at high currents is that it gets hot, and there might be some problems on that side. And because this curve is so that it's kind of the optimal place is close to zero. So there are some advantages for using this. Is first of all that you don't have to have a separate biasing circuit in order to get to that operating point. We will talk about this biasing in the next few slides. So this is a good thing to have, and that's why this D MOSFET is useful. Whereas in enhancement mode MOSFET, you have to be above the threshold voltage and above that, so that we are clearly on the same region of this curve, this parabola, in its case, so that it's kind of not too high, not too high currents, because of the power issues, and at some point it no longer it will be defined with the equations that were given in the previous slide. So there will be some deviation at some point, and also not too close to the threshold voltage. So these are kind of the operating points for different devices. And when we are operating at that operating point, wherever that is exactly on the curve, then we can think of the transfer characteristics as the change in the output caused by the change in the input. So that's kind of the transfer characteristics definition. So we have a small difference in the input or a small changing signal or amplitude in the input, and then it will kind of move or change the output amplitude as well. And if you think of that we take the slope of the curve at that small region next to the operating point. So even though we have nonlinear transfer characteristics, so we have this parabola that defines the current versus voltage, but if we take a small part of that parabola, we can consider that as a linear behavior. So small voltage at the input, there's a certain factor that then makes the output the same way, and it's linear. If the change is big, then we need to take into account the nonlinearity. But if we are dealing with small signals, we will talk about small signal models in a minute. And so this is where it comes from. So that if you think about the slope of that curve is basically. It has units of current divided by voltage, which is basically conductance. But however, we have the voltage is VGS, so it's gate to source voltage, and the current is drain current. So they are not kind of they are not the same in, or they are not kind of in the same how to say, same space in a way, because if you think about resistance or conductance, we think that okay, voltage affects the current in a resistor, for example. And the resistor is defined as voltage across a resistor divided by the current through that, and we get resistance. Or the conductance is the current divided by the voltage. But now we are dealing with a voltage on the gate, which is insulated from the channel, and yet that voltage affects the current in the channel. So we are not dealing with conductance per se, but we call it as transconductance. So there's kind of a this trans means that it's this kind of a transition from gate to the channel. And we mark it usually for these transistors, we have it marked as GM. So G is many times used for conductance, thermal conductance, or even electrical conductance in the normal case for resistors even. Reciprocal of a resistance. But this M now is kind of, so GM, if you see it, it usually refers to a transistor transconductance, which is defined like this. So change in the drain current divided by the corresponding change in the VGS voltage. One thing to note, which is given this parenthesis, is that it's not the same as the actual value of the current. So the operating point divided by the gate of to source voltage at that operating point. So these two are different. So this is the slope of that parabola, and this is the point at which we take that slope. If it would be linear, totally linear from zero to wherever, then these would, two would be different. But now we are dealing with a second order polynomial, or then this is not the case. And we can simply get the transconductance from the equations that were given above. So if we now have we have a equation for ID, it's a function of VGS. We have some constant which are device dependent. So if we now think of JFET first, which basically can be also considered for DE MOSFET, the same as mentioned, the same equation. We can get simply that we take a partial derivative of the ID versus VGS. So this is the equation, and when we go through and like rearrange to a certain extent this thing, we get in the end we get a form that we have GM zero times a square root of the ID, so the operating point divided by the IDSS, which is device dependent. So now we have the GM. So the slope of the curve depends on the operation point, obviously. So wherever you are on the parabola, the shape is changing as function of voltage, but also as a function of current. So it's just given. So we could arrange this also to have a in the end, a dependence on the VGS, but it's now given like this. And this GM zero is the transconductance in case of JFET and in case of DE MOSFET. It's given the slope of that parabola at 0 volt, zero VGS. So that is so we can get that defined. And that sometimes it's given that, okay, GM0 is something for a given device, and then there is a certain so IDSS and pinch of voltages that are given, then we could get a transconductance for the device defined from there. So now, as I mentioned already, that the small signal equivalent circuit of a field effect transistor. So we are dealing with nonlinear behavior. So there is this parabola behavior, and then the ID versus VDS. It's not also in the ohmic region. It's not linear, totally linear. But of course, we are now basically the operating area is in the saturation region, typically for most kind of applications. So we need to kind of make our life easier, and usually when we deal with amplification, we have small signals, so relatively small amplitudes that need to be made larger, so we amplify it. And when we are dealing with nonlinear equations and nonlinear systems, we would like to kind of make them more simple and make them linear, because linear systems, they are always much, much easier to handle the equations and the behavior and so on. So this is what where we linearize the field effect transistor behavior. So now some notes that the small signal is now considered as the AC signal. So we have the notation is that the total signal that what we have, we can always break it into two parts. We can always break all the signals that we have, whatever signals we might have, we can break it into DC, which is the kind of the stable point, and then AC, which is the alternating signal. So this is basically true for any signal that we might have. And for notation that is usually is tried to keep throughout these slides and the lectures is so that if we have a voltage or current given in so that we have capital V and then we have small caps GS, DS or D, that means that it kind of this applies or refers to the total signal that has both a DC and AC parts. The DC is usually given so that all these letters are capital, and small letters B, G, S, then we have the small signal or the AC signal with this. Also, we can think of that the kind of the differential of the total signal, so the kind of the small change in the total signal is actually our small signal at the AC. So this is just to kind of keep you or give you the kind of the notation that this is used, and I've been trying to use it throughout the slides. Okay, if we now think of the transistor, we can think of it as a kind of a amplifier in a way. So we have the gate signal, the gate voltage that changes the output current, the drain current. So we can kind of make a simplified linear model for this. And this looks pretty similar what we had earlier for amplifiers and generalized simplified amplifiers in part A. So this is so-called the small signal model for this transistor. The gate here, it simply gives us the gate to source voltage. which we now give as a small volt. So this doesn't work for the whole signal. So this doesn't work for the operating point. So that is already defined when we deal with this. So now we are at the certain operating point of the transfer characteristics of that given device. And now we are kind of having a small ripple or small changing voltage at that point. And we can think that that slope at that given point as a linear slope, which is now defined by this GM. So that GM factor here, so we have an amplifier that takes this current is defined by the voltage that is input to the device and the device characteristics, the slope of the curve at that operating point. There are some other, so we have this RD, so there is some internal resistance of the channel at that point, which also defines the kind of the slope to a certain degree. But this is kind of the simplified small signal model that can be used now to model the behavior of the signal. When we take an AC signal to a transistor, we can now get much easier to analyze than if we would have this nonlinear equation in every line, and it would get really, really heavy to try to analyze. And especially if you only have paper and pen to use, then this makes the life much, much easier. At high frequencies, however, there, of course, it gets more and more complicated, because if you think that the gate is the gate electrode, so the metal on the gate is behind a dielectric. So basically we have a capacitor from gate to source and gate to drain, and basically from gate to the substrate. So then if we go higher and higher in the frequency, of course this capacitor starts to make or have a role in the charge transport. So then in order to kind of make the model more and more accurate, we could just simplify it and consider that there's a gate between gate and source. There's a certain capacitor, which is given here CGS, and gate to drain we have a certain capacitor CGD, and then from drain to source there's also some kind of capacitance. That so now we get, it's still rather simple, even though this gets harder and harder to model, especially just paper and pen, but it's still, it can be easier than having the whole thing with the nonlinear. So we still have the linear part modeled here and estimated. And effectively, we could make it even easier that we would have these kind of things that we consider this effectively this the combination of these two as one capacitor. So there is this capacitor needs to kind of have taking this G here into account and so on, but we could still manage to make it this type of model if needed. Then in some cases, depending on what type of insulating gate we have. So if we have JFET, for example, there is still some current flowing through this this leakage current flowing through from gate to source. And it could be modeled by adding this small resistor or big resistor here. But this is just to how to build a model which is still linear model. Okay, then going towards the amplifier circuits. So the simple amplifier, we can take any of the FETs that were given above. These are illustrated here. Let's see if I make this like this, make it, maybe it makes a little bit larger as I cannot zoom it up. So if we take a depletion enhancement mode MOSFET like this, so we have an output signal. So here it's really small, but it says VO here, so V output, and VI, so input here. And we take the signal through a capacitor. So we only take the AC part of the signal, whatever comes in. And we don't take the DC. So now we are with this RG resistor, we bias the gate to source voltage to zero. So we are at the 0 volt point. And we, now we can just consider a small signal, so small variation in that VGS here makes small or some variations in the current, in the drain current, which in turn make some variations in the output voltage. So now we have an amplifier here in our hands. Same can be done with enhancement mode MOSFET. Now we need two resistors here on the gate side, so that we bias this gate to source voltage, so that we are in a proper operation point. So that, because we cannot operate the enhancement mode MOSFET with this circuit, because zero VGS would give us zero current through here, so then it wouldn't work. So we need this R1 and R2, so that we have the voltage division, so that this point gets higher potential and VGS above threshold voltage. But the same idea is, again, that we have a small AC signal here that changes the VGS slightly. We have some AC signal, and then we have the current changed, which makes the change in the output voltage because of this RD here. So basic principle is the same. Then for JFET, we have somewhat the same as for the MOSFET. However, we have this RS over here, which makes sure that this gate to source voltage is negative. So this gate voltage here is because it's through this RG. So basically, we don't have any current flowing because this is reverse biased. This junction here, and we have zero bias here. So this is just to bring the potential, zero potential at this point. And then when we that zero potential gives us some current flowing through, and that current that flows through the drain brings, because then we have a potential difference between the source and the ground because of this RS. So this source here is slightly positive, which means that the gate to source voltage is negative, because gate to source voltage is defined by VG minus VS, and VG is zero and VS is positive, then when the VGS is negative. So we are in the certain operating point. But basic principle is, again, the same as in the above. Small signal, AC signal, makes this the wickle in this gate voltage, which makes the wickle in the drain current that wickles the output voltage. And in the fourth graph, it's kind of a generic circuit that could be used for any of the field effect transistors, where we have an extra bias, gate bias voltage over here. So we could take any of the four or three types of devices and apply a separate gate voltage, bias voltage, to the gate, so that we would be in the right operating point, depending on which one we use. For the MOSFET, that would be zero. Here it would be positive, and here would be for JFET, it would be slightly negative. But again, basic principle would be the same from the input to the output. So that is kind of the basic idea of a FET type or FET application or FET amplifier. So the equivalent circuit of the amplifier, the small signal model, looks like this. So we have the transistor in the middle that we already discussed, and the external parts, so the capacitor that kind of connects the input signal to the circuit is here. The RG that was given is between this the gate and source. And what is notably here that the RD is now from the output, so from the drain to the kind of the reference, which is the source in this kind of a simplified case. And then one would ask, why is that? It's because if we consider an AC signal, then the DC, which is the ground, and the ground or the reference here, the VSS, is zero, and VDD, the kind of the biasing or the operational, the supply of this circuit, is DC. So if we now think about the small signal, from the small signal point of view, the AC characteristics point of view of this signal, this VDD is zero. We can think of it as the same because it doesn't change. It just stays there, 10 volts, 5 volts, and then on the other side we have 0 volt, which remains the same. So from the small signal point of view, we could then just put the VDD and VSS together. That's why the on this side, this RD here turns down and goes like this. And now the output is still from the drain. So that's how we build this small signal model for an amplifier. The same will apply when we deal with bipolar devices in the next chapter. But this kind of the basic principle will be exactly the same, how to build this small signal model. So this is important to remember and understand and figure out why these things are done in the first place. And from this small signal model, we can derive the voltage gain of this device. So here it's given that the output is minus GM times VGS times the parallel configuration of the drain channel resistance and the external RD. And our input signal is basically VGS, so we can put here. And in the end, the kind of the transfer function of this small signal model is simply minus GM times this RD parallel configuration. Moreover, we can usually assume that this RD the channel is much larger than the external one. So in the end, we just have the output, the gain, voltage gain of this amplifier is simply determined by the external resistor, RD, and then the transistor transconductance. And you should note that there's this minus sign here. That means that we invert the signal. So it's an inverting amplifier. So at the input, we are having signal going up. At the output, it's going down. So that is the inversion. So if we go back and look where this comes from, the first thing. So V out is equal minus GM VGS times this resistor or resistance. So if you think that we have this current flowing here, which is GM VGS, it's flowing downwards, so from drain to source. So if we consider this part of this circuit, that current comes from these two resistors, through these two resistors, and we can simply, from the voltage point of view, because the output voltage, the AC output voltage is the same across RD and capital and RD small caps, then we can just make a simple Kirchhoff equation for this, and we get that what was in the next slide. And that means that we have then eventually we have minus sign because of that in this V out. The input resistance of this amplifier is simply the RG. So because if we'll go back, it's here. So the capacitor here is basically for these signals that we are now considering, we think that the frequency of the signal is high enough so that we can kind of neglect the impedance of this. So it's high enough so that the 1 over omega C or 1 over J omega C is small enough so that we can kind of forget this impedance. So that means that the VI on this side is practically the same as the VGS on the other side. So that's why the input only sees this RG as the input resistance or the input impedance. And the output resistance or output impedance is the parallel configuration of this RD small and RD capital, which is again this RD with small caps is much larger, so that this parallel is roughly the same as the external RD. And obviously at low frequencies this capacitor will start play a role, so we have a high pass filter in this case. So the cutoff frequency at low frequencies is 1 over RI, so RG times C. Okay, then about biasing configurations. So we already mentioned that the operating point of the circuit. So now this is the DC part of the circuit. So it's also called as a quiescent state or quiescent point of the circuit. So the quiescent output voltage, given as VO quies, is simply given as VDD minus. So you start from VDD and you make a Kirchhoff voltage circle or loop from there. So the output is basically VDD minus the current, the DC current of the drain from drain to source times the RD, external RD resistor. So it's because we have this nonlinear behavior of the FET, it's not, for this we don't use the small signal model, because now we are talking about the DC signal. So not the small variations in the signal, but the kind of the large signal or the DC point where we are at the characteristic curve, set of curves. So basically what we can think of or how we can estimate where we are is using this kind of a load line approach. So we have this characteristic set of curves, ID versus VDS. So at different VGS values, so gate to source values, you get this kind of a set of curves. But on the other hand, we have the output part. So if you would just think of the from the supply, so the VDD supply, and then we have the RD, so outside the transistor, if we now would forget that we have a transistor connected at the next to the RD, we could think that as a Thevenin's equivalent circuit in a way, which could basically we could put whatever component there. Now in this case we have this nonlinear component, the transistor connected there. But if we now just consider that VDD and RD combination, and then we have the output from the RD, we could think that as in this way, that the VDS. So now the VDS is the output. So in case of we don't have any current flowing through the transistor, then obviously the output would be VDD, because we don't have any voltage drop in the resistor. And on the other hand, if we would have a perfect channel, so that there wouldn't be any resistance in the channel whatsoever, so all the current that flows from the so there wouldn't be any voltage drop across the channel, then the current would be simply VDD divided by RD. So we get this linear line between these two points, and the slope would be minus 1 over RD. So this is so-called load line. Now we can connect these two. We just simply put them together, and we can find out where we should be. So now we could move, changing the RD, so we would change this slope here. So changing this RD value, we could make this load line differ. And obviously VDD, we can differ if we want, but if we then fix both to certain values, then we are within this. And then basically we are somewhere on this line, depending on VGS value. So if the VGS value is, for example, this A, we are at that point and nowhere else. So we have a certain voltage across RD, which is basically the VDS or VDD minus this VDS value. So that is the voltage across the RD. And then we have the VDS value, which is voltage across the field effect transistor. And then we have some current flowing through that transistor and the resistor, obviously. But then if we bias the gate to source differently for this, we would be here, then there would be higher potential drop through the resistor, because we have higher current flowing through the resistor, and then that would mean that we would have less voltage across the transistor. And then if we would go higher and higher in the VGS, then at some point we would hit this part, and we would go to the ohmic region, and then it would no longer be, we would kind of saturate, and we would kind of, there would be kind of a wall here that it would stop, and we would no longer, there would be a certain, roughly, so the difference would be, so if it would increase further, and it wouldn't change much the output or the current through the, and for amplifier, it's something that we would like to avoid. We will talking more about kind of the applications for switches and things which can be used. So we will go kind of from here to here and use the whole region. But for amplifiers, we would like to be somewhere in the saturation region where the small signal model applies, and we would be having a small variation. So we would change, we would have a small VGS signal on top of this DC here, and what it would make, it would change the current slightly here, and in the end, it would change the VDS value slightly here, and the output would then be defined. The changes in the output would be defined by that way. And maybe I can continue from here next time. So talking about choice of operating points, we are already, well, maybe I can go through this slide just when I, because I was already showing it, it will only take a minute. So basically we have this characteristic set of curves for the transistor. So there are some limiting factors where you should be when you are building a amplifier using a field effect transistor. So as mentioned already, we would like to avoid the ohmic region because that is not well defined and it doesn't work for the small signal model. Then we have a certain maximum current that is set by the data sheet of the device. So the manufacturer gives that this device, whatever device we are using, can only be used at the certain maximum drain current or gate voltage either way. So we cannot go too high over here. Then we have a certain breakdown voltage. So we cannot go above certain VDS values because then there would be too high electric fields inside the semiconductor and it will eventually possibly break the device. So we have a kind of a vertical line over here saying that we should operate somewhere below that VDS. And then there is a maximum power, which is kind of a reciprocal curve here, saying that there's a certain max power P where the power is defined by the ID times VDS simply. So current times voltage is power and it gives this kind of curve. So we should be somewhere in this wide region in order to be on the safe side. So we don't break it because of high currents, or we are not for this A region, we would not hit to the non-linear, this more problematic non-linear parts of this behavior. Even though this is also, there are some non-linearities, but when we are dealing with small signals, we can kind of make it linear system out of it, an estimation. Okay, we will continue from here next time. And is there any questions raised at this point? If not, then I thank you and we will continue next week from here. Thank you.